Turn to Romans 8:28. And very surprising, with all the stuff that's going on this week, that we would turn to Romans 8:28 of all places here. I would think I see a red dot on that thing, wouldn't I? I suppose just. Maybe that thing can dig some ditches. I don't know. You know. I don't really care about the V. I want to get it, but I don't care about it. Just make sure the audio's going for just today, if you would. I don't know what you've been going on. You've had any opportunities to witness this week, but honestly, I can't imagine you haven't. If there's ever been an opportunity to stick up for the truth, I would think this would have been your week. I don't care where you've been, unless you hold up in your house this week, I would think that you've had an opportunity to witness more than ever before that you can remember. And even if you hold up in your house, if you've got kids, you have had an opportunity to witness. This movie that's been coming out these last, just it's only been half a week, and the one that the media loves and the people love, and it's just been amazing. And I've been majorly busy with email this week, of all things. I just put out a couple of my thoughts and some of those things, and I tell you, we've had some hot emails. We've lost a couple friends over the thing, if you want to call them friends. Actually, what it did is it brought out a kind of a vulgar mouth and some language. It's just kind of like, well, I guess it really shows where we really are in some cases. And I don't mean to be judgmental of anybody this morning. I probably didn't need to start out that way, because we'll probably lose them if you're even listening to this thing at all someday. Hopefully soon. But I've heard from PBI graduates. I've heard from former pastors and other pastors. And I had a big, long email with a guy that really believes that the Greek is the Word of God, but there is no Greek, and the only place that he can come that's closest to finding the Word of God, he has to go to a museum and get permission from the curators or whatever, if he can look at the particular Bible that's in that case. And it's just, and I just write back and say, you know, you're serious, you're kidding me, right? This is where we all have to go to study the Word of God, is go to this museum. And he said, well, if you want to get the best, if you want to get the closest to the originals, then yeah. So I finally put him on block. I got more things to do than that. Tried to plant as much seed as I could. But anyway, the emails have been really surprising. And I'll say this, I didn't think of it till this morning, but my best support from all these conversations that are going out there, almost all of the supporting comments have come from people that don't go to church anymore. They don't have a church to go to. Or if they do go to church, it's a little bitty one like us, a little bittier even. I can't think of anybody. I just isn't that amazing? There's something going on in the big churches, and this movie has been horribly received. And I'll say this. I mean, you know, the movie itself is not the issue. I'll get into all sorts of things for this morning, and I'll put a lot of little chunks of meat on the table. Then tonight, the message tonight is what I would call startling, just for me. I mean, just for me. And it really puts me on the spot to do what I believe needs to be done. If I'm good, not just because I'm a pastor, but just because I'm a Christian. And some of the things that I've gotten out of this movie has led me to have to do I need to do this tonight or not? I mean, is this what I need to be? Is this what we need to do? And maybe you'll pick up on that this morning with all these other things. But tonight is the killer. It's an amazing thing. And Bible-believing people, this is not going to be received well at all. It's not an attack of any kind. It's just an observation that once one gets a little closer to the Lord, is that not what you're praying, is to get closer to the Lord, the fellowship of the Lord, and you want to talk to Him? And He starts showing you some stuff that really tests to see if you really are a Bible believer and how much of one you are. So I wish you could all make it back tonight, but whatever. I got to preach this thing, and then I got to do something about it myself, and that's just life, I guess. You know, amen. So support's coming from the people. They're not getting caught up in all the hoopla of this movie. I would call this movie The Passion of the Antichrist, if I called anything. I would call it The Passion of the Christ and Mary. I mean, this thing is so Catholic, it's unreal. And my surprise is, why is this even an issue? I don't get it. I mean, I'll try to stay on track here a little bit this morning, but this thing has got Catholicism just oozing out of this thing. It's more obvious than any other movie that I've ever seen. Even the Ten Commandments had some truth in there. At least there were ten. You know, that's about it. But it's amazing what we're seeing here. I preached Wednesday night, and I wish y'all could have heard it, and I'll get you the tape if you really want it. I preached on the shame of this whole thing. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about he was put to an open shame. And it's an open shame. And then just after I put that thing out, somebody sends me a letter that says, you know, the Bible also says that in the sixth hour to the ninth hour, God shut down the light. It was darkness. That just reiterated the fact that, yeah, God just even covered up that shame. Well, I'm sure they had their torches and the whole bit to see and all that kind of stuff or whatever. Maybe, probably a couple. But that was still God's intent. There was such a shame there that he even turned out the lights. And here Bible-believing Christians are going to this movie to see his shame, something that God... I mean, it's in the Bible, and we need to know about it, and he was shamed for me, he was shamed for you. So I realized that, but that just kind of verified the whole shameful thing about the lights. It's amazing to me that things that are coming out that are such false Catholic doctrine that they're not even subtle. This is not even subtle. And one of the criticisms people have given me is, well, you haven't been to the movie. How do you know this? Well, you know, I haven't been to a whorehouse either.
Right.
I haven't eaten back. I even thrown up on the couch or in the bed and licked it back up to see what it's like. The Bible says to do, that's what dogs do. I don't need to do that to find out that I shouldn't do that. I don't need to do some of the things out there that we've been preaching for years is wrong. I don't have to go do it to find out. Amen. I'm just amazed that these are Bible-believing people. I'm not talking about the evangelicals, and that can be anybody out there, pretty much the Pentecostals, the holiness crowd, the Church of One Life, all that crowd. Not talking Catholics, not counting the Lutherans and the Methodists, all the denominational stuff. I'm talking about that other bunch. And then you got that Bible-believing bunch. And they're saying the same thing. Well, you need to go see it. Who are you to judge this thing in the first place? What a marvelous witnessing opportunity this is. That's true. I don't deny that for a second. But I don't have to go to a mass to find out how to witness about a mass. I've been to one. And if you want to go to one, go for it. But I mean, I'll tell you, you'll get pretty upset. And if you don't get upset, you ought to get upset that you don't get upset because of what they do in a mass. The time I went to that mass, I didn't get really upset. I just couldn't believe it. But now I'm getting upset with what's going on. Very, very simply, I'll talk more about it, much more about it tonight. The visual media has taken over the words. I'll talk about that tonight. The visual, the images, has replaced the word. And if you got kids, you need to be here tonight. And then I'll preach about images tonight. Totally different here. Let's take your Bibles here. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll really try to just make this a morning sermon and not an endurance test for your behind this morning. We'll get into the movie here in a couple of minutes. Now, I'll stand up here this morning. I know who I am, and I know the problems I have with life, and I'm so glad my flesh is separated from my soul. And I'm aware of the spirit battles and the flesh battles, amen? And it's only by God's grace I can stand up here this morning at all and preach about what I'm going to preach out here this morning. It's been great not belonging to any more camps. I think it's quite exciting to be so independent. I call it we're independent of the independent independence. That doesn't mean we're cultic. That's the thing you'll be clobbered with sometime. But I'm just going to... 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, I just don't think I've ever been this adamant or this desirous or this charged, whatever the word would be, to do what it says we're supposed to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where it says to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. You know this verse. You hear this all the time from me. But he goes on and says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And I pray that God gives me enough years to, before my, as Paul says, his departure is at hand, I pray God to give me enough years yet that I will still be able to fight a good enough faith, a good enough fight, and finish the course and have him say, "You know, you did all right." I want him to be able to say that, at least in the last couple of years, if nothing else. Now, the last couple of weeks, I preached some things about Paul. I will continue to do so. And people that are reading the Romans devotional thing have said that they never understood the New Testament so much as a person with Paul. It's been very quite encouraging to them. But from a pastoral standpoint this morning, I can understand more than I ever have before Paul's heart, Paul's desire. I know there's some things in Ephesians. I think we had 7 on one chapter and 6 or 7 on another, where he prayed for his people to get these particular things from God, that they would receive these things from God. And I understand that now more than ever before. I don't enjoy writing to former friends or past friends or whatever, or pastors or whatever, and having to battle over something that is so, I don't get it. And you had to try that sometime. You know, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. I understand why Paul says that he doesn't mean to be sorry that he was sorry that he preached such a hard message or wrote such a hard letter in his particular case there. But I understand why he's not sorry that he did, even though he's sorry that he did. Now, I'm sorry I had to say it like I had to say it, but I'm really not sorry. We talked about that. I understand that. Probably more than I ever have before, and I thought I understood it last week, but there's something that is that this movie has brought out, and if it doesn't bring it out in you, that's not the issue. It brought it out in me, and I'm hoping that we can pass some of that thing on there a little bit. I've preached before about telling people the truth. You become their what? Enemy. Well, that's nothing new. Amen. I understand that it's where it says there that the more abundantly we love for other people about the truth, the less we will be loved. We have no problem with that. We understand that. But, and it's not even so much that as friends or pastors that have turned, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is this over something that is so biblical and it is so opposite this movie, I don't understand other than we have to understand what's going on in the times we're living in. So I realize all that. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, I'm just telling you that this movie, believe me, I didn't even go see this movie. I don't plan on seeing this movie. And if you go see it, don't tell me. Really. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you do, but I don't want to know about it. I'm not going to be this pastor that says, you can't do this. Now, I'm not that at all. I don't mean to come across that way at all. But maybe, I don't know, we'll just see what happens with life. It's not my problem, I suppose. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the thing that's hard about some of this stuff, is Mike Etter, our son-in-law Mike, down there yesterday, last night, he said to me, "You know, it's been really weird. I've been thinking about this lately, but you know, our future growth is really dim." I kind of smiled, said, "Oh, we've been talking about that all the time around here." Here I am, kind of the CEO or the president or whatever of a company that we know is going down. We just know that. There's no doubt around it. There's no way around it. It is going to happen. Amen? So you come into a church that you know will someday not be here. And it isn't just because of the preaching, but it isn't just because of the rapture. It's just because this is the plan. That's God's plan. And so it's kind of futile. What's the point? Why do I need to go after this music thing? Well, I haven't gone after that music thing since we left for North Carolina. I got to go preach it in Vancouver, and that was a spark. It was exciting, and I rose quickly. I still want to rise quickly, but I want to rise quickly to preach the word. Now, even more than that, and it says right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us," that's the preaching again, "as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. There has to be a falling away. Okay, then it talks about the man of sin be revealed, and who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This movie portrays that very person right there. I mean, if you want to go to the movie house and you want to see a portrayal of the Antichrist, you go right ahead. That is not a true portrayal of Jesus Christ and his suffering. It is not. Well, then what's the big deal? If we know that it isn't, we'll just go for the entertainment value. You know, whatever. Now, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. I tend to get a little weary about this stuff. It's a, like I say, it's a futile thing, it looks like, but it's not. I don't mean it to be a depressing thought here this morning. Jeremiah, who is, well, I'll tell you, if we could do another study, it'd be the third one or fourth one. It's time to go through Jeremiah again. There was so much, I'll talk about him tonight. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah got tired of the whole thing too. Now we know there's a couple places in chapter 18 and chapter 20 where he kind of gave up and all that stuff. But now this is a different kind of weariness that Jeremiah has. And maybe this is some of the weariness I have, or maybe some of the weariness you have as parents too, or just workers or whatever. He says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 11, he says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord, I am weary with holding in. That's all you need to read. He is tired of trying to tell people stuff in a manner that he hopes they would get it. Do you ever get tired of that as a parent? I am just tired of trying to help my kids get this thing. Now just get it and just put it to them. You ever been there? I don't mean to stop here. You know, I'm going to this other window, you know. That's fine. That is one pretty truck out there, Jeremy. Now, if that gets cold, shut it again. I just got to have a breeze for a couple seconds here. Jeremiah is tired of not telling what he needs to, say. Amen? So, I don't always wonder if people are getting what I preach or getting the sermons or whatever. Matter of fact, I went back and looked at some titles of my sermons that we've done here and found a whole bunch more that's not even on that page. I forgot about some other stuff. I'm looking through that stuff, and I said, man, Lord, your grace and your mercy. I look back at that stuff, and I say, man, those sermons were on the mark so many times about what is going on. And I couldn't go back and preach all that stuff again. Boy, would I love to. It'd be different. It would just be different. It would just be different. I don't care so much if people don't get that. I don't care. I just want people to somehow get a hold of that Bible and be able to live with it. Not even that your Bible is marked and got all the right answers. And even if it's not underlined, you know, even straightly, whatever. My desire is for Bible-believing people to be able to take this thing and maybe not have a sermon somewhere. Maybe not have somebody else put some food on the plate for them for a second. But actually live their day with their Bible. That's what I want people to get. And why do I want people to get that so badly? Because I am finding out that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, I suppose, of Bible-believing people that all of a sudden don't care about what that Bible says. They're going to go to that movie anyway. Well, like I say, they got the liberty to do it, amen? We do. So I'm not coming across like a Hiles guy or whatever. You do what you're going to do. But now I also just recently preached about the Lord has already come. Okay, so if he's already come, and I believe that he has in so many ways, spiritually to us, just not physically, then I need to be living his faith, not mine. That's in Galatians. I need to be willing to experience his joy, not mine. And someday when he comes to get us physically, we will have what? Exceeding joy. So I know all that. I realize all that. But I'll tell you, go to Colossians chapter 3. I tell you, I have never looked at this Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, like I'm looking at it in the last couple days. You probably know the verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, which I am, are you? Okay. Seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's just ringing my bell more than it ever has. And it doesn't have to ring your bell. You're just going to have to listen to me clang this morning. I am growing weary of the pressure to get folks to understand this book. These are perilous times. I'm growing weary of those folks who just fall for this physical kingdom stuff, which is causing them unhappiness and weariness themselves. In Matthew, I'm growing weary of those who draw nigh unto the Lord with their mouth and honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Isn't that a good one? I mean, they draw nigh unto the Lord with their mouth, they honor Him with their lips, but their heart isn't there. Maybe that has a lot to do with why the Laodicean age is what it is. We talk, we do, and we go the things we need to do, but He doesn't have our heart. But, like I preached a while ago, it's not about me. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's not about whether I am growing weary as a pastor or preacher. It's not about you. It's not even about you. It's not about your husband. It's not about your wife. And hey, it's not even about your precious little special kids. It's not about them. It's about the Lord. And if it's about the Lord, it's about the book. It's not about anything else. It's just not. So I'm going to tell you this morning. And let God work on you, whatever. I don't usually preach much about money. But I challenge you to put your money where your mouth is. And you're not bad givers. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm just saying this church has got one job and one job only to do, and that is get this Bible out to somebody somewhere. And it's going to take money to do it. And it's going to take time to do it. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take rearranging your priorities and all sorts of stuff. That is the job God has given this church. We are so King James that all we want to do is get this Bible out to people, not just the knowledge of it, not just the right, the dividing aspect of it, to get us to live it. And I don't mean in a holiness, perfect, millennial Christian kingdom. I mean just to turn to this thing all the time. And when it says what it says, at least try. You know the battle's going to be there. It is in Romans chapter what, Louis? Romans chapter 7. Some people do anything for a big chunk of chocolate. To get that, I couldn't. I still can't do it. Talk about that tonight. I'm a TV brain. There are people on the website that I'm just going to challenge that if they don't have a church to go to, are they just trying to sneak away from going to church so they don't have to give out any money or anything? Well, then ship it down here, and let's put that thing to use. Let's put that money to use. To get that word out. I don't think there's anything more important to do now, especially because we are seeing people flock to the theaters. We are seeing the evangelical crowd, which shouldn't surprise us, still flock to the theaters, but we're seeing the Bible believers flock to the theaters. This book is losing. Well, it's there forever. It's not going to lose. But those Christ killers, remember I preached this long time ago, Christ killers are book killers. And I went through that whole, in detail, the crucifixion, the death, the hunt, and the kill. The hunt and the aim and the shoot and the kill of Jesus Christ is the very same pattern that they used to do this Bible. So they're just about done. They're just about done. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. All we need to do is just get the seed out. Just get the words out. Get the Bible out. It's going to be pretty hard. I gave the UB four or five opportunities this last week, and they didn't put any of them in. And the one they put in was just a lie. I didn't say that there'd be no discussion after this movie. Man, where did the guy come up with that thought? You know, he's a witty. And I knew, I just stay off the phone with these guys. you know, just stay off the phone, whatever. So anyway, with what's going to happen in the future now, you know what's going to happen? And I don't think many Christians look at it this way. As we put out this Bible ourselves, we're not going to really gain a whole lot of ground, amen? That's pretty Eeyore-ish. What has to happen? There has to be a falling away. Are we going to prevent that? Of course not. Okay, so when we look at that thing in 2 Thessalonians, and we put this Bible out, and we put these verses out there, and we spend all this money, and do all this time, and we get involved with all this kind of stuff, you know what God's going to, you know how God's going to respond? What do you think? He's going to respond with more lie. He doesn't call it a lie. What does he call it? A delusion. So I and you need to quit calling it a lie. I've done that. It's not a lie. It's a delusion. And he says, listen, the more you folks turn away from my book, the more I'm going to send you a delusion. So all this stuff is happening, and this Bible is just losing ground, something fierce, even among the Bible believers. They're going to fall prey to more delusion. Boy, and yet it's from God. It's from God. That's what he says. Is that what he says? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You read down there. He said, and it's gonna. Now it can't take away the salvation of the Bible believer, but it's gonna be involving salvation. There's gonna be people out there that are not saved, and they're gonna be falling for this delusion that's gonna be increasing, and they're gonna be claiming a salvation, and we're gonna come along with the Bible that's gonna dispute that. Oh, we've got a glorious future of party coming. Don't we? This is really going to be exciting. And that leads me then to what can we get out of this movie? I mean, instead of just whining and bashing on this movie, Romans 8:28, you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What can we get out of this movie? I'll tell you what we're going to get out of this movie. I should have numbered them. What number is letter T in the alphabet? That's right around the 20s. I got up to whatever that is. And if I'd have sat down and done this pastoral preaching thing, I'd have figured out some kind of way to start each thing with that particular letter. You know, A, all people, or you know, B, boneheads are believing, C, you know, I can't do that sort of thing. This took me long enough as it is here. Here we go. All right, ready. That was my intro. Did you get the gist of that intro? We need to get the book out. And we cannot fall for what's happening. Now, I guess I should say this too. If anybody's already seen that thing, you know, whatever. I'm not going to excommunicate you or anything. I hope God does a number to you, though. Just in your heart. And if you have seen it, maybe you'll understand even more what I'm saying this morning. Because, see, I haven't seen it. Who am I to say anything about this movie? I haven't been there. You know, I never have gone to the back of the Modern and eaten some of the pineapple chicken out of the garbage back there. I suppose I could try it. I don't think you're supposed to. I think it'd make you sick. Wouldn't you think it would make you sick? I don't know, though. Have you ever done it? Oh, hey! Who wants to go with me to the Modern this afternoon? We'll go back in the back of that thing and dig into their garbage and see if we get sick or not. Anybody with me? Well, of course not, you know. Don't even need a Bible to know that one. Anyway, here we go. Well, let's see. How can we do this thing? I would imagine some of you folks don't even know what I'm really talking about because you haven't read the quotes, you haven't read the movie reviews, you haven't read the interviews, you haven't even seen the previews, and you haven't even probably even seen some pictures of this thing. But you don't need to. Listen to some of these things. Number one, or letter A, if you're a note-taking type person. This movie makes us examine ourselves to see how much of a Bible believer we really are. You go down to Deuteronomy 13, the Lord talks about He sends some of that stuff down to see if you even love Him or not. That's in Deuteronomy 13. If you go to Jude 4, we're supposed to contend for the faith. If you go to Jude 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, He says to some with compassion, some with fear. You know, are we willing to be this kind of a Bible believer here? What about the disciples that, when things got a little tough, they ran? What about Peter, when things got really tough, and he was there, watching him get clobbered, and he left? And what about this one guy in Mark that still hung around? Remember that guy? There's a guy that still hung around, all by himself. Disciples had all left in the whole bit, and then he finally takes off. Maybe that's us. They all left him. So that's not so much. Listen to this here. These are some email quotes I got for some people. I also kept thinking about Doubting Thomas and how our generation is now the first to truly see the perfect enactment of the Passion since the original one 2,000 years ago. Our Lord said to Thomas, "Happy the man who does not see but still believes." You know that verse, right? This guy says, well, thanks to Mel Gibson, everyone now living has the opportunity to truly see our dear Lord's Dolorous Passion. That's a Catholic term. Dolorous or whatever. He is an incredible gift from God. God, through his instrument Mel Gibson, is gathering the sheep that have scattered the past 40 years. Wow. You know? Here's what God did, right? God has skipped the church and the preachers and went to an alcoholic, Mel Gibson, an unsaved Catholic alcoholic, to win people to him, to get his flock back together. Amen? That's what is happening. God has reached down and touched the heart of a Roman Catholic to direct a movie about God. God has changed his mind on salvation and now says it's only available through the Catholic Church, because that's what Mel Gibson says. He says his wife is lost because she's Episcopalian. God has gone back to Catholic priests for writers. God has made sure that they celebrated the Mass before they filmed the filming each day. This is a big one. Their names are Annie Catherine Emmerich and Mary of Agrenda or whatever, two nuns who had personal revelations from Mary. And the books that they had written is what this movie is based on. It is not written on the Scriptures. And this Emmerich lady, she said she had the wounds of Christ in her body. She ate no food for years except a wafer. Wrote a book on her visions, and that's the book that Gibson was following. She said that Christ begged for mercy, quivered and writhed like a poor worm, and cried in a suppressed voice and in a clear, sweet-sounding whimper. No way. No way. God changed a script from the Bible to show that Mary needed to be involved in this thing. Jesus Christ is walking down the road, and Mary's over here in the crowd walking along with him, giving him encouragement. There's a place where Jesus Christ falls onto the ground and looks up at Mary, and she says some stupid thing about, you know, I'm with you, son, or something like that. He gets the charge to go up. The whole purpose of that stuff about Mary is to show that Jesus needed his mommy. Right. And that's not true. It takes a whore to play the part of Mary Magdalene. The message of the sacrifice of the cross has been changed to the sacrifice of the Mass. Gibson says this, "For years my best friends were actually evangelicals, many in the business and many in professional ways. I love them. I think they really know the book. They know the book better than Catholics, actually. I've been actually amazed at the way, I would say, the evangelical audience has, hands down, responded to this film more than any other Christian group." What a marvelous testimony us Bible believers have given to the Catholic Church. Isn't that something? Now, are you just putting up with me this morning? Are you getting this? Our testimony to a lost Catholic is they're doing all right. Because we're going to the movie that portrays everything they know we are against. I don't care about the movie. It's the response that we're giving it. It amazes me. Mel Gibson says this, "For me, the amazing thing is that the film is so Marian. Marian. But I think the way the film displays her has been kind of an eye-opener for evangelicals who usually don't look at that aspect." Well, duh. You know, of course we don't. Listen to this. And remember, he gets most of this movie from the Catholic scriptures, which isn't this thing at all. And he also gets it from those book, that book by that nun who had visions of Mary. The scriptures are the scriptures. I mean, they're unchangeable. Although many people try to change them. Oh, that sucker's in the Bible Believers right there, apparently. I guess. I don't know what it is about this thing. And I think that my first duty is to be as faithful as possible in telling the story that it doesn't contradict the scriptures. Now, so long as it didn't do that, I felt that I had a pretty wide berth for artistic interpretation. And to fill in some of the spaces with logic, imagination, and other readings. For example, Judas goes to kill himself, and I had him being tormented by children. I can understand that. I made up the children idea and that they were somehow diabolical, so they weren't real children. And that he was on a hillside and he looked at a dead goat, and then he goes and kills himself, hangs himself with a halter. Just thinking. Okay? And I thought, okay, where's he going to get this halter? Well, wait a minute. It should be a dead donkey with a halter on. I mean, there's nothing that said there was a dead donkey there, but why not? It says in Matthew 27:5, he hung himself with an halter. So if he hung himself with an halter, then there had to have been a halter-holding beast somewhere in this movie. So he brings in this donkey. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? I think Marcy's checking it out. Judas didn't die with a halter. At the end of that verse, at the end of that reference, Matthew 27:5, it has comma Douay, D-O-U-A-Y. What's that? That's the Catholic Bible. Douay Rheims version. That's a Catholic Bible. Okay, how many people don't know that Judas didn't die with a halter? You go look at that thing, and if you didn't know your Bible good enough, you'll probably from here on start thinking that, well, he died with a halter. Did you ever read your Bible after you got saved and you realize you've seen some things in movies that really aren't true? You know, Ten Commandments. I don't think Moses did have an affair with whoever that lady was in the movie. I really don't think he did. I don't see it in here. And have you realized that stuff over time? Some of the movies we've seen? You know? Oh, I'm telling you, this is amazing stuff. And so, apparently, we've been wrong all along. Everybody's going to this movie. I guess we've just been wrong all these years. Catholic Church is not that bad. The doctrine is not that bad. Mary's probably a pretty good mother to be an example after. Get out the Douay Rheims. It's got more stuff in it than this one does. Got the Apocrypha. It's got a bunch of other books in there, too. I guess we've just been wrong all along. Might as well go to the movie. Support it. Okay. How much of a Bible believer are you? And how much do you want to be? This will challenge you. I'll challenge you in that thing. Okay. B. Let's see. B to T. We got a long ways to go here. Now the rest will be quicker. B. This movie ought to strengthen or weaken our personal stand. You know there's things wrong in that movie. If you didn't, now you do. What do you think about it? What are you going to do about it? If you can't think of anything else, remember the halter one. Just remember that one. How many of you had an opportunity to witness about this movie this week? I bet you, almost everybody has. How'd you do? Did you take a stand? Well, no, it's my mom. I mean, come on, you know. She's a pretty good Catholic. I don't want to make her mad. I'd rather have her die and go to hell. Why don't you just say that? Or you'll say something like, well, yeah, I don't. I think she loves God and she believes the passion and I'm sure she's going to heaven when she dies. She's born again. She says, I've been born again. Roman Catholics get born again when they join the church, by the way. It's so subtle. It is so subtle. Remember, I preached the other day, E.W. Tozer had that phrase, guilty silence. When somebody asked, you see the movie? No. Oh, why not? It was marvelous. Nah, I'm busy. You don't want to get into it. Why don't you want to get into it? This is putting us on the spot more than ever before. I think. And that's how I'm a history nut. How are you going to handle it? It's either going to strengthen you or weaken you. And don't say things like, yeah, my pastor, he's really against it. They're asking you this question. They will never ask you, what does your pastor think of this movie? They already know. You know, that's not a big deal. Here's another one. This movie, C, yep, letter C, brings out the hypocrisy in us. Wait a minute, you're supposed to preach about the Catholics and the Catholic Church and the movie. No, this movie, the good we're going to get out of this movie, going to test us to see if we're a Bible believer. It's going to test us more we want to stand, and it's going to bring out some hypocrisy in us. I don't go to our movies, but I go to this one. I don't do the Hollywood movies. They're crummy. But you go to this one. I'm against Mel Gibson as a director and all the wrong that he stands for. You know what those other directors stand for? They're worse than him, if that's possible. Perversions. So what's this got to do with hypocrisy? Well, hey, if you don't do these other movies and go to this one, that doesn't work. And if you go to those other movies, but not this one, that doesn't work either. That's hypocrisy. That's all that is hypocrisy. Your kids will see it. You preach against the Catholic Church and still go to this movie? You're giving them money. I feel bad that I gave them money for The Patriot, for Mel Gibson. Any of that stuff that you've ever seen out there. We've given them, we financed this movie. We helped finance this movie. Hello? You know. Well, we give money to the government too, right? I'll have to give it to the Catholics too. I'll go see the movie. We can justify things if we really want to so easily. We can. You're a Bible believer. But how many this morning didn't recognize the fact that, you know, Judas didn't die with the altar? It's hypocrisy. I'm a Bible believer. Do you know these things? Well, no. And that's a small example, but it does prove the point. Now, here's one. I'm against seeing Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't like to see that. I'm against that. Matter of fact, I believe the Bible's against that. You got any pictures of Jesus on the cross that Dr. Ruckman drew? Oh, there goes all my listeners. If I get any. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Images. Images. That's going to be very, very interesting tonight. I won't participate in the shame of the movie. Amen. Preach that Wednesday night. I'm not going to go see the shame of the Lord on the movie screen like that. But have you ever shamed him during the day? Remember, he's got an accuser. Tell him, hey, look at that guy down there. He blew it. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't think he quite does it that way, but, you know. Have we ever shamed the Lord in our own walk? Well, okay. Then you can't use the excuse of I'm not going to go to the movie because of the shame of the Lord. Because I shame him every couple times. You know, well, that's hypocrisy. That is just blatant hypocrisy. I'm going to stand up against this movie, you betcha. Then you're going to swear and lose your temper, go deeper into debt, ignore your Bible reading, ignore your Bible study. What a hypocrite. Boy, you are just grumpy this morning. No, this movie will bring out our hypocrisy. And we will be hypocrites. You know, the whole, I don't want to get into that preach about the hypocrisy and hypocrites, but hey, we are. Are you not a hypocrite? Amen. If you think you're not a hypocrite, you know what that is? That's hypocrisy. Right. You know? So it will. It'll bring out the hypocrisy in us. And it'll preach to you. Know what that movie's doing? And you stand against that movie? Roar! Wait a minute. God will show you some stuff in your own personal life. D. We can now see that the true Catholic Church still exists and is as strong as it ever has been, and it is the whore of Revelation 17:18. If I had the time, which I don't want to take the time to do that, Revelation 17, Revelation 18, man, that is the Catholic Church, there's no doubt about it. Whether it has overtaken the whole world, or if America is considered the city, which I don't believe it is, the whore is Rome. There's no doubt about it today. Because all these people are coming together, and as they're coming together in a Catholic doctrinal teaching. It's the Catholic Church. I have no doubt about that. So that exposes that, amen. And it says in Revelation 16, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. All these people are going to be gathered together to fight the Lord. And they're going to be gathered together into Rome. That's the city. Revelation 17:18. We can see that the Catholic Church is behind the ecumenical movement. It just is. Listen to who supports this Catholic movie. Billy Graham, Mission America Coalition, Campus Crusade, Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, had a battle with one of those guys too. He said, I've got 38,000 people. You think that they're wrong? I said, yes. You know? Who is this Rick Warren guy? You're following a man. You're following the personality, Jude 16. I had a good time with that one. And he said, hey, dude! You know, dude! Let's not get into a theological argument because I'll lose. He said that. He would lose. I said, what kind of a worthless Christian soldier are you? You know. Sin. You know. Evangelical Free Church, Wheaton Bible College, Morris Chapman, President of the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. Jack Graham, President of the Southern Baptist Convention, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, Worship Leader Magazine, Robert Schuller, James Dobson, Focus on the Family, Ted Haggard, that's not the guitar guy, that's Merle, that's a different guy. Of course, he isn't much better at this point. President of the National Evangelical Association, he called Gibson the Michelangelo of today's generation. The American Tract Society says it's the greatest opportunity for evangelism in 2,000 years. That's true, except the tracts they put out support the movie. They get the right idea, but the wrong material there. Teen Mania, the Catholic League, the Vatican Secretariat of State, that's not a horse, the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. We need some more ministries around here. You know, put Jerry in charge of the Tushy Communications or something here. You know, and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, it's the ecumenical movement is Catholicism. We said that for you. If you got that tract, your real battle, shows the Catholic, everything coming out of there. We see it today. There's no doubt about it. You know? Let's keep going here. F, we can see if we really would know a false teaching. Even if everybody accepts it. What do you know about the Eucharist? Jesus' portrayal was based on the design of the Shroud of Turin. What do you know about the Shroud of Turin? Where's that at in John? How can you destroy that thing in one verse? Would you have known those scenes with Mary and Jesus were actually true or not? You think Mary did wipe off the blood on her face? I guess I don't know. I better look and see. You know? Would you have been able to see the subtle Mary involvement as co-redemptress? Did you know if Christ was really thrown off a bridge? Did Jesus have long hair? Did Jesus hang himself with an halter? Do you know any scriptures that disprove a Catholic teaching? Do we know a false teaching when we hear one? And if everybody likes it, what do? You check it out? Yeah. G, we have an opportunity not to be ignorant of Satan's latest device. The movies. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Some of you older folks, how's that, can go back and look at the leavening process in reverse. All of a sudden, the Lord of the Rings has got some application. All of a sudden, the Hobbit. All of a sudden, Harry Potter. All of a sudden, you go back, Leave It to Beaver was part of this whole process. Ward and June. Let's get the husband out of the picture, blah, blah, blah. Blondie and Ralph and Alice. Bam, zoom to the moon, you know. Well, that's what's happened. Man has been sent to the moon. Oh, that's a good sermon right there. Anyway, that's Satan's latest device, the movies. The movies. We'll talk about that tonight. This movie has brought out the dust, the dirt, the bugs, and the cockroaches as we turn up the lights. I wanted to make that my sermon, but that was just going to be fleshy. I mean, you got the dirt. You know, the light comes in. You ladies know this. You'll dust that house. You'll think that thing is shiny as all can be, and that sun will hit the window just right. And it's not only is it floating in the room, it's already landed. And it's like, what do you do? Close the curtains! You know, some of you just go dust it again. I know that, but you know, I'm in just closing those curtains and don't see it, you know. In fact, you know, if you come into my office, don't rub your finger along stuff because you can't see it's dusty until you run your finger through that thing. But that's what the light will do. Ever been in a place at night? Oh, we had a house in Las Vegas. Oh, I've got time for this. We had a house in Las Vegas. Boy, in the middle of the night, you turn that light on, all over. Remember the cupboards in that apartment complex? All over the plates and the whole thing? Oh, man. Just turn on the light, and there they are. Cockroaches, dirty little, slimy little critters. You know? I had one jump on me in the shower one time. I just tore that shower to bits. I just can't handle those cockroach guys. It was a Chinese one, I think. Or an American one, either. Probably a queer, too. I don't know. You know? I don't know how you can tell on a bug, but anyway. You couldn't tell he was a bug when I was done with him, but anyway. Well, good. That little burst of joy will give you another half hour. Okay. So anyway, you know what's happening? You get this Bible on that website, and you get this Bible in your conversation, and you've been talking with people who think they're Christians, you will find out that they are a cockroach. They are not a Christian. They're a Catholic. And when I was young, you were either a Christian or you were a Catholic. You weren't a Christian if you were a Catholic. If you were born again, you were weird. If you believe in the Bible, et cetera, you were probably a Baptist or something. And you can't go play with the Baptists. I'll tell you, this will bring out the bugs. And that's what's happening. Something I have on my list after today. This movie will give us eye. This movie will give us opportunities to witness if you want to. If you don't want to, you'll have to just give them the silent treatment because you will be put in the spot. Jay, this movie makes us turn either closer or further to Christ. Closer to Christ or further away from Christ. Now, how can that be? Well, real quickly here, Revelation chapter 3, I think it's 21, where he's seeking fellowship, amen? You're either going to get closer to him because of this whole thing, because it bothers you, because he's seeking fellowship. And he's being lied about. He's being portrayed improperly. He shouldn't be portrayed at all like that. Images are taking the place of the Bible, the whole thing. Does that bother you about your Savior? Then you ought to just give him a little bit more fellowship. Because he's really getting stunk on. And everybody's falling into it. So many of his Bible-believing people are going to Catholic things now. And, well, I'll tell you, he must be knocking harder. Hey, 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 where are you going? What's the deal? Hello? That bothers me. Maybe that's a growing up thing. As kids get older, they realize their parents really did care. They realize their parents really did love them. You know? Amen? And they try to come back and okay, that's neat and all that stuff. Maybe that's always happening to me, and maybe sometime that'll happen to you. But that bothers me that so many of his people have turned their back on him all of a sudden. Just because of special effects and big sound system, big screen. I had one of our friends say that, I never understood that crucifixion like I do now. That is blasphemy. Because this Bible is where we're supposed to get the understanding. We don't get understanding from Hollywood. Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You've been doing it. Yes, I know. Wait till tonight's message. I am visually oriented. I have been TV trained. I have been trained away from this book, from words. And I have done that to you. I have done that to people. Is it a total sin? We'll talk about it tonight. What do we get out of images that we cannot get out of words? Oh, I want to preach that this morning because you're here. You parents that are teaching your kids how to read, you kids that learn how to read, read and read and read and shut off all that other stuff because it is attacking your brain. It just is. How do you know that? I know that. Talk about it tonight if I don't do it this morning before we leave. This is marvelous right here. L, right done K? No, K, this movie guides us closer or further considering worshiping God in spirit and in what? Truth. not to go anywhere with that one. You know that. If you're going to worship in truth, you're going to chuck that movie. Anyway, here's the one I want you to get at here. This is amazing. Paul says here, I fear lest, this is L, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Beguiled. Ever been beguiled? You know. He says, in this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, he says. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his flesh. Oh, there's so much preaching in that thing. It's a sermon in itself. Been beguiled. He's warning about being beguiled. You know what the definition of being beguilement? An entertainment that provokes pleased interest and distracts you from worries and vexations. I've got to say that again. Listen to the first word. Thank you. An entertainment that provokes pleased interest and distracts you. People are being beguiled. Bible believers are being beguiled by entertainment. Man, isn't that, scriptures are so good. Okay, M, this is what tonight is. The movie gets us back to words instead of images, if you're so willing. If you're so willing. Put me back to A, how much of a Bible believer are you really? We'll find out tonight. And because this movie is so off the mark, it makes us look into the scriptures for the truth. Amen. You now know that Judas did not die with a halter. You don't need a donkey in the picture. You know what else you don't need, kids? You don't need to watch The Small One anymore. How many know The Small One? That's not even true at all. Well, it was cute, and it made my public school kids cry, and it's as close as I could get them to cry in my class about some kind of emotional stuff. Well, justify. No more. It's going to be hard tonight. It's going to be hard to preach tonight. Okay? It makes us dig into the truth. Oh! I feel like I'm singing that song. You know, oh, whatever. B. E.D. Because this movie is so wrong about the crucifixion, we can be reminded what actually is important about the crucifixion. Now, listen to this thing here. What really is important about the crucifixion? Scripture makes clear that the meaning of Christ's crucifixion lay not in his suffering. That's not what's important. But in his propitiation, the substitute of the wrath of God. God's wrath was utterly placed on Christ Jesus, who suffered the full extent of its unabated curse for the sins for his people. The fullness of divine wrath that Christ suffered was like that fire from heaven recorded in the Old Testament, which consumed the sacrifices. Old Testament sacrifices consumed those little critters. The wrath that should fall upon the sinner fell upon Christ. The representative relationship of Christ to his people is a real and necessary one. The all-holy God deemed it just to punish Christ for the sins of his people and to credit them with his righteousness and thus completely satisfy all the demands of his law upon them. It isn't just that he suffered. And remember, we even talked about it, they don't bring this out in the movie, that he endured the cross because of the what? Joy that was set before him. Strict substitution demanded so that real imputation of his righteousness to his own people could follow. And remember, it was still his own people. Now, don't take this wrong, because the Bible says for us, but he really didn't die for us. He died for Jews. He passes it on. So he died for us. It says, don't get me wrong, he says for us. The modern Bibles take out the phrase for us. But this was supposed, he was the Messiah. We think pretty highly of ourselves sometimes. Arf. Yeah. And we need to thank those Jews for being so crummy. That's what he says in Romans chapter 11. If you think that's crazy, look it up. He says, you better thank those people. Now, they're the enemies to the gospel, but boy, they're not your enemy. You need to take care of them. Help them. Make them jealous of what they don't even want what we got anymore. Anyway. Okay. So, the point of that thing is, that thing I just kind of had to read to you, was it wasn't just the suffering that had to take place on the cross. Man, what happened after he suffered on the cross? God totally what? Totally forsook him. What happened after Jesus Christ was totally forsaken? I have no idea how you can do that when you're him. Whatever. What happens after he was forsook? He went to hell. He didn't go to purgatory. How many times did he read the rosary thing? You know? So they're just showing a small segment of what the whole issue is. And the whole issue is not just his suffering, and it's not just being forsaken by God, and it's not even just going to hell and coming back and getting victory. It's the fact that he did that for us. Anybody who's willing to trust him. And see, a Catholic doesn't have to trust him. So they wouldn't dare put that in the movie. So you know a true salvation is not in that movie. And Bible believers are telling people, you ought to go see this thing. What does a Jew say? Oy vey? Oy vey, I can't believe that. Letter P. Because of the false portrayal of Jesus Christ, this movie actually lets us see another Jesus. The one that Paul's talking about. Talks about that in Corinthians, talks about that in Galatians. He says, another Jesus. There is another Jesus being portrayed in that movie house, and Bible believers who are supposed to have the real Jesus are going to see another Jesus and telling people, you ought to go see this other Jesus, and oh, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Q, because of the false gospel this movie presents, it actually helps us understand the delusion as it grows more and more. We talked about that already. Signs and miracles, wonders and healings, and it's going to come even faster now. Amen. Second Thessalonians, and we're gonna be able to see it happening. Are we gonna fall for any of that stuff? If you get beguiled, what do you think is gonna probably beguile you? Entertainment. Oh, entertainment. Okay. What is going on in all the growing churches today? Entertainment. What is music turning into? Entertainment. Who are they having coming up to sing and all that stuff? Entertainers. What does a pastor have to be? He has to be an entertainer to get people to listen. Why? They can't handle words anymore. How many times have you teenagers been sat here bored out of your gourd? All he does is stand there and talk and talk and talk. He's talking words. I don't even know what he's talking about. I realize I can have a big input in that thing. But still, you must hear something. Maybe you can't. I've always wanted in my music classes, always wanted to build a big TV screen and put it right here and stand inside it. And see if that would help my music kids learn some of my stuff. You know? It'd be dangerous if I did it here, because you'd all want your remotes. It's not going away. Louie, get the plug! You know? Yeah. That whole, I'll probably preach that again somewhere. That whole beguilement thing is, we are going to be beguiled by fun and entertainment. What are you trying to get your kids to do? When you try to get them to do something and it doesn't work by what you said, what do you try to do next? You try to kind of entertain the little issue a little bit. Well, maybe if you do a little song and dance out to the garbage, you can take the garbage thing with you. You know, maybe if I get you this stuff, then you'll listen to me more. You know what they discover after a while? It costs you a fortune, and they still don't get it. So what do? You get them more. Ah, let's get even crummier. How about your wife? Let's not get into the husband-wife thing. Oh, park on that beguilement thing. Paul warns about being beguiled, and we are in the age of beguilement. Okay, get out of the quid. Run out of time here. How about you want a stretch or something? I only got a few left. RST is all. Oh, can't be done that quick. You won't be. R. No, Q. Okay, we're all right. No, I did that one. R. The success of this movie, in spite of the false gospel it presents, ought to help us realize where the church is today. The local church. Where is it at? It's in the gutter. If it's not in the gutter, it's in the movie house. If it's not in the movie house, it's on a stage. How can you say that? The churches are growing. Look at all the mega churches that are out there now. Yeah, look at the doctrine they're doing. Look at what they're doing to the doctrine to get to be a mega church. Well, that's true, but there's Bible-believing mega churches. Yes, I know. And look at what they're doing. This King James Bible is not quite the issue it used to be. They still believe it, but it's just, don't make it a hobby horse thing. And we've got some great singers coming in today, and we got a new gymnasium out there. Let's get a thing going for the kids. They're being beguiled with entertainment. That's where the church is today. The church of beguilement. Well, how are you today? You like to get up in the morning? Oh, got to go to church. I'm glad we got a church going, blah, blah, blah. But he's just going to stand there and talk for him. Oh, look at this. He has talked and talked. And all he can do is words. Boy, I wiggle once in a while. I try to get you to look up here. I see the yawn going or whatever, and I try to do something to get some air into your system. We just can't do words. I can preach that thing this morning, tonight. Jonathan Edwards would read his sermons, read them, because he was scared to death of people, and they're long, and they're big words. Oh, man, he'd read that stuff, and people would get it. Let's bring some of those guys in here today and have them do their sermons they did in those days. We probably wouldn't know 90% of their words. 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 The church is in a mess. S. Because of the issue and hassle of opposing so many Bible believers as well as so many others, this movie helps us long for the rapture. Is it to get out? Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I give. I'm ready. Let's go. And yet, I also want to know, I want him to know that I'm looking forward to seeing him. Because he's going through some grief right now. He's going through some shame. He's going through some rejection. It's not a physical, but I bet it's just all over again. And that kind of bothers me. Talks about this thing in Corinthians, and always says here, for if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have the building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan. We're groaning for the rapture, amen? Maybe you're not. T. Ooh, T. Hey. T. That's what I said we're going to end on. Are you excited? T. Because of what this movie does to Jesus Christ, we ought to better able understand his need for fellowship. His personal need for fellowship and why he's knocking. That was pretty easy. Yeah, kind of a anticlimactical ending, isn't it? Now, if I was the teacher in me, I would say, I could take out a piece of paper. I just gave you, what is it? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, 20? Thank you. Pretty bored of the sermon to sit back and count them, huh? Okay, take out a piece of paper, put your name in the upper right-hand corner, date that thing, and you tell me five of them. Five good things that we can get out of this movie. Thank you. I bet you'd have a hard time. Yeah. You'd struggle. Because you know all I gave you today was what? Words. Well, if you give me the notes, okay. Take the notes. I'll make you some notes. Ain't this getting expensive? I'll give you some notes. Go home and look at them. You'll get the message all over again. And you'll go, did he preach that? Wow, I didn't know he preached that thing. If there's anything you remember this morning, remember, beguiled. Don't fall for entertainment. Man. Now, let's do some page. Let's end with the conclusion. Turn, Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. Boy, I tell you, did any of those click your gizzard more than other ones, maybe? Is that all right? Is that how you say it, Sue? Click your gizzard or stick your gizzard or something? Pop your pancreas, you know? Sting your shoulder, you know, whatever. I hope you got something out of this thing. Honey, if we go to the movie tonight, don't tell him. Just whatever. Ah, this thing is done, and I just don't feel like I hate that word, I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't believe I gave this thing justice. I don't know. I hope the Holy Spirit does something to you through this, all these things. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Let's finish this up here. Conclusion, invitation, come up and cry, whatever you want to do. I'll challenge you to come back tonight for a very startling sermon. But Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Now, this is not written to us right here. This is written to the tribulation crowd. But you know, we can get something out of this just for us. And you'll see why. He says here in verse 25, and he, that's the death of the Antichrist, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. Have things not changed? Girls marrying girls, guys and guys, women working, dads not. I mean, it's just, I don't mean to pick those that come in my mind first, but there's times and laws have changed. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. That's the 3.5 year thing right there. Time, times, and the dividing of time, which is half, so 3.5 years. So whatever that's worth. There's going to be a time, the 3.5 years, where the devil's going to just wear out those that want to stick with the Lord. You know what's happening today? We're wearing out. Maybe you're not. I'm wearing out. And I don't want to wear out, because that's a shameful thing to wear out, because it's supposed to be his strength and the whole thing. Go to Luke chapter 12. We're wearing out because we're too busy to stay with the Lord. Now we'll finish this up here. Luke chapter 12. You might want to, it's probably too late, already lost Daniel chapter. We'll come back to Daniel 7 in a minute here. But finish, this is the conclusion to this thing. All those things I said about that movie, you can't remember all those things. I can't even expect you to. I can't. I can't. I have to get my notes out. I got my desk full of papers. I got to write notes in my Bible. I'm not doing it for myself anymore, because I just wonder how long I've got. But I want to give my kids a Bible that is written and prepared for them. But I'm still kind of wearing down. Are you wearing down? Are you tired of some of the stuff that's going on? Whether it be a family, personal. Are you tired of what's going on out there? I mean, what is going on? Well, Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If he then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things? But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we know that that is Luke, and we know if we apply that thing written to us, he promises to take care of us physically down here, and this is a physical kingdom, and he's concerned about the spiritual kingdom. You may have to flip burgers. You may have to not. You may have a real struggle, physical life. We just got to still trust him. If we were to apply that thing on a spiritual basis, seek ye the kingdom of God. Okay? So you're seeking the kingdom of God. Does God give you all these physical things then? Anybody have a testimony like that? See, that's the modern charismatic Catholic movie type thinking. If you see God, he will bless you down here. You all got Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen? Are you rolling in physical, financial, earthly blessings? Well, yes, we are, but not according to the world standard. You all got cars, you got gas to come to church. You've got a house, you got a heater you can run. We're blessed. I mean, we may not have that forever. Gas $2 a gallon. It's going to be kind of hard. You're going to have to decide where do you and where do you not go. And I'll bet you some of you will probably have to say, I just can't make it to church because I'm out of gas, I'm out of money. Well, what did you do during the week? Well, I had to go here, and I had to go here. Well, don't you got to go here? All sorts of things. But what we're saying here, he is saying these people are too busy. They are concerned about the wrong stuff. And why are we wearing out? We don't seem to be having the time to serve God. Where's your fruit? What have you done for God that there's been a fruit because of that? Well, I don't know about that, but you ought to come and see my yard. I don't know about that, but you ought to see my new whatever. I got some new whatevers. And I did this, and I did that, and I've got this, and I got all these things, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, where's the fruit from God? Yeah, I'm too old. No, you're not. Are you alive? You can still serve God. Let's go back to Daniel 7. We'll finish up with Daniel chapter 7. Let's see if I can wrap this thing all up my clock stopped. Okay. In a few minutes. We have seen all this stuff about this movie. Good things out of this movie. Beguilement. I guess that's what I got out of this movie. Amen. Was that beguile entertainment stuff? Whatever else. It'll put you how much of a Christian you really want to be, a Bible believer. How much do you know your Bible? How close do you want to get to the Lord? How close do you really want to go? Does it bother you that these things are going on? Is it a shame to him? Is it a shame to you? Are you going to look at the things that you're doing that's a shame? Are you going to try to stop doing some things? You want to witness to somebody? Wouldn't you like to see somebody wise up because of this movie? Wouldn't you like to be able to have somebody say, well, so you don't like the movie, huh? Well, it doesn't matter that I like it or not. It's just not right. Well, what do you mean? Let me show you what I mean. And then let them see what you mean. Who's going to listen to a whining, unhappy Christian? You know? We're just too busy. And this movie is going to bring out the fact that you're probably too busy to serve God. Because we've been put on the spot. There I go again. We've been put on the spot. We're Bible believers. We're King James Bible believing only. We're the only ones he's got left to stick up for his words. That's it. That's it. There's some folks in nearby town. They can hardly pay the water bill. That's not the issue, but that is a hard time. Next nearest one, the brighter. Next nearest one, listen to the radio station. That'll tell you all about them. Next nearest one is way up north. But we don't know why yet. They didn't have church Sunday night. Nobody knew it. There people came and there was no church. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe some really bad thing. Maybe it was a tragedy or something. I don't know. Next one that I know is King James only. He's very liberal. Kansas City Baptist Temple liberality there. Let's go up there a little ways. It's a struggle. Let's go over there a little more ways. Way up in the city, that's a struggle. Let's go down the coast. Those are big ones. Want to play politics? Okay, let's not go down there. California, there's no reason. You ever drive in California? How many did you hit? You know? I'm going to check out your grill. I tell you, folks, you got a billboard up there? What does it lift? The book. It is a physical picture of a physical thing. Whew, my glad. Oh, God teaches us stuff over time, doesn't he? I'm glad I don't have to call that billboard, come say, hey, we got to cancel the billboard. We need to change it. We'll pay to change it. Because we can't have that image up there. But we're doing all right. Boy, I tell you. He has put a lot on your shoulders. Pardon the shoulder. Maybe y'all got a rotary cup damage. Or whatever you call that thing. Does it hurt to serve God? You need a little surgery. Maybe God will do that. Daniel chapter 7. Let's go back to 26, verse 26. This is a joyful ending here. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Amen. Antichrist is going to lose. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Boy, that's good. I mean, it does end all happily ever after. And he says, as for me, Daniel, my cogitations... What is that? His thoughts. His noggin. Pretty good. Much troubled me. And my countenance changed in me. Remember, Daniel's seeing this stuff ahead of time. You know what you're doing? You're seeing this stuff ahead of time. That's that middle circle and all those kingdoms up there. All those little kingdoms up there. We see the ending. But it troubled Daniel. It troubles him. And he says at the very end, but I kept the matter in my heart. What's the matter? It's things that are going on. This movie troubles me. Why does it trouble you? I'm afraid that the website listeners, I'm afraid that our sheep right here could possibly fall into this thing. There's an awful lot of sheep running around going, "Hoo!" I don't think sheep sound that way. I'm not sure wolves sound that way either. I should have studied the little sound thing of a wolf, I guess. You know, I'm concerned. I really don't think you're going to fall for it. I'm hoping to get all this good stuff out of there. I'm hoping to bring you closer to the Lord without having to go to the movie. I'm hoping it opens up your Bible to you. Without having to go to the movie. I'm hoping you can be a better witness without having to go to the movie. That is a Catholic movie. And we got some friends and sheep that are falling for it. Don't you fall for it. And maybe you can help somebody. I'll guarantee it. I'll be done here. I'll guarantee. Prepare for this one. Doesn't mean you have to study the whole Catholic Church. Doesn't mean you have to, you just pick a few things that you can tell somebody about when it comes to the truth. If nothing else, tell them that movie is not based on the Word of God. Be able to tell them about the Dewey Reams. Be able to tell them about those two lesbian nuns, probably, that got all these visions from Mary. I shouldn't say that, I don't know, just probably. But I mean, this church has... What did the news say the other day? I think it's either 5,000 or 11,000. I forgot what the number was. 11,000 queers for priests. You want a queer to forgive you of your sins? Do you want a queer to decide whether or not how many days out of purgatory you get? Do you want a queer to help decide whether the sin that you just confessed is worth being forgiven over or not? Who is he? Who am I? I'm a child of God. It's not me. But it's Jesus. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that's making my walk every day. Can I judge somebody? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, yeah, with this book. Am I putting a judgment on this movie? You betcha. Am I putting a judgment on the Bible believers that are going?
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're shaming the Lord. They're putting forth a false testimony. Wait a minute. Get out the mirror. Okay. I did my part as a pastor now this morning. I did my part as a preacher. Now, what am I going to do as a Christian? I'll tell you tonight. It's not easy. Not easy. Boy, am I glad that movie came along. Why? It opened my eyes to a lot of things I should have been able to do without it. The movie got me back into my book more than ever before. How are you doing? Let's stand if you don't mind. I pray the Lord get you this morning somehow. One of those, what would you say, 20? I hope at least one of those 20 points sticks with you. Leave it on for a second, patience. Be ready there. I do. I know some of you can't make it back tonight, or won't, or not able to. I hate to say it, but get the tape. Doesn't work that way, but it'll be available. Okay? Wednesday night's message was still about the shame of this whole thing. We talked about things that we're supposed to be ashamed of and we're not. And I talked about things that we're not ashamed of and we're supposed to be. We're a messed up bunch, aren't we? If we're a messed up bunch, what do you think is going on out there? And I don't say that arrogantly or proudly. I thank the Lord for this Bible. And I thank the Lord for you folks. I do. Wouldn't it be neat to be able to thank the Lord for some more folks? Nah. Just thank the Lord that you can preach the Word. He is the one that's supposed to get the increase. If we don't get any new members out of this thing, if the church gets smaller, it's not our job. Our job is to, three words, preach the Word and not put out pictures. Jerry, do you mind? Would you dismiss this in prayer? And have a good day. God bless you for all these things. And I pray that you remember some of this stuff and apply it to your life. Sure.
Father, I do pray that you you'd bless our Bible reading, Father, and open the book up to us. And Father, we really don't need to know what's wrong with the world out there.
Amen.
We just need to know what's right in our Bible.
Amen.
Father, we need to, as individuals, make a stand for that book ourselves and stand on it, Father. We don't need to have advice about the book, Father. We just need to read it and let your Holy Spirit interpret that book to us, Father. Not have someone interpret it to us for us. Father, I know there's in there it talks about preachers and teachers and evangelists and all this. We need that, Father, but we do need to have a relationship with you, Father, on a personal basis. That relationship comes from reading our Bible, Father, and meditating and spending time with you. I pray, Father, you put it on each man's heart in this building today, Father. Be just that. I pray, Father, you give us the strength and courage to be men about this and to make a stand, Father. Keep guiding us in the truth. Keep showing us the truth, Father, and I praise and thank you for that.
Amen.
I just pray, Father, that you watch over us, Father, and give us the strength to battle the things we need to battle and the witnessing we need to do, Father. And Father, again, I thank you so much that your precious son stood before Pilate and didn't have to justify anything. I pray, Father, we also learn that the excuses we can give, Father, is usually just the justification of the flesh. I just pray, Father, you keep guiding us as a church, as individuals. And Father, I do pray that we would be able to get the word out there, Father, and water the word. And again, Father, you give the increase. Just ask, Father, that you'd make a way so people could come back tonight. And Father, Wednesday nights, I just pray, Father, that this would be our sanctuary out there from all the way. Thank you so much for it.
Amen.